Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahweh Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Part 6, Exposing the Lies of the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints. Exposing lies. Well, if you ain't lied about nothing, can't expose nothing. If you ain't lied about nothing, all right, good. We're going to find out who coming on stage for, remember, no broadcast tomorrow. Tuesday is the only day that we have off on this broadcast. No broadcast tomorrow. We'll be back on again Wednesday at 6 and Thursday at 6. Friday, 7:30. All right, good enough. So we're going to scroll down and see who's coming on stage for tonight's episode. And we see one of the young lions. All right, good enough. Let's see who's coming on stage for tonight's episode, part number 6, Exposing the Lies of the Christian Church and the Latter-day Saints. Exposing their lies. But remember one thing, if you ain't got no lie, can't expose nothing. If you ain't got no line, so if you ain't lying, you can't expose it. So let's see who's coming on stage. Brother Titus Israel, up and coming teacher out of Camp One. Brother Titus Israel, Yahweh bless you there, see you right here.
Yahweh bless you there, dear Israel, of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, there, young lion. Sound like you ready to go, and that's a great thing. But like I said, this series is based upon part 6 of the lies. So we need to hear something and then take a little look at it. So we got to hear something first. So let's hear something first, then we'll know which way to kind of go at it a little bit. Let's see if we hear something there, young lion. Then we'll know exactly what we will do. And take number 6.
To Joseph Murdoch of Hamilton, New York, suffered a crippling stroke. His family, led by his son, Joseph Stacy Murdoch, decided to immigrate to Nauvoo and join the Saints. It was a difficult journey. By the time they arrived that fall, Joseph Stacy said his father was deaf, deranged, and unable to walk. I got him into the hands of the prophet Joseph Smith, Joseph said. Joseph made him a promise in the name of Israel's God that if he would be baptized in the Mississippi River 7 times, he should be made whole in 1 week. This was the private, and he was made whole in the time set apart, never to be any more afflicted in life, and was made sound of mind. Then Joseph Stacy Murdoch added this witness: I bear testimony to what I have written as an eyewitness. Unborn raw of heaven, declared by the Lord himself, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word may be established. But then, of Joseph Smith the prophet. Today, millions declare a burning witness that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that he saw God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, that he received the holy priesthood of God and the ordinances of salvation, that the Book of Mormon he translated is the Word of God, and that the church he helped establish is Christ's New Testament church restored. If those witnesses share what they know and expect others to listen and respect what they say, what of the thousands who knew Joseph Smith personally and saw with their own eyes the power and prophetic mantle of God upon them? Those eyewitness testimonies cannot be ignored nor slighted any more than the witness of Peter or Paul. Our history is filled with those who saw, heard, and knew for themselves that Joseph Smith was a man of God. What follows are testimonies from those who knew Brother Joseph personally. They are offered here to affirm faith among those who believe and cause the skeptics and doubters to carefully reconsider the choice seer of these last days. Benjamin Brown was among those afflicted. He sunk so low that he was in a coma, and all thought he was dying. Doubtless I should have died, he said. But one day Joseph Smith was passing by my door and was called in, and as I was afterwards informed, laid his hands upon me and commanded me to rise and walk in the name of the Lord. Benjamin then continued, the first thing I knew was that I found myself walking on the floor perfectly well, and within 10 minutes afterwards, I was out of the house visiting my daughter, whom I had not seen for nearly a month. I felt so full of joy and happiness that I was greatly surprised that everyone else was not as full of praise as myself. Benjamin Brown received a miracle. He knew it, and he knew that God knew it. And though the world might be indifferent, scoff, or seek to explain away his witness, still, he knew. Of those unbelievers, Benjamin said, this man, Joseph Smith, was the one that the world says was an imposter and a false prophet, and either denied that he ever performed any miracles, or, if any are too well attested to be denied, attribute them to the power of the imagination over the body. Was it the power of imagination over the body that cured me, when I did not even hear Joseph's voice or know that any operation on my behalf was going on until I found myself well? The honest in heart will judge righteously. Yes, a prophet may predict future events, and there are many witnesses who speak of Joseph having that gift. But a prophet also speaks for God about the present. He is a spokesman, as it were, for the Almighty, and his words carry the authority and backing of heaven. Joseph Smith spoke boldly in the authority of God. Consider this from Alexander McRae, who was confined with Joseph Smith and others in the jail at Liberty, Clay County, Missouri. The date.
All right. So we got enough on the table there, young lion, to know one thing. That's you have to have your A game prepared to deal with what you just got through here. So
according to the Mormons, that Joseph Smith is the present-day seer, and he met the Father and the Son, and they gave him all of what to do today. So that's a lot to work with. So we just going to open up that young liner, and we're going to see what can we deal with that on the run by looking right at that verse called Luke chapter 12, verse 12. A young lion, Brother Titus, what that verse saying, Luke 12, verse 12?
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit to teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. You know, I believe that, young lion. I believe the righteous spirit does the teaching. As a matter of fact, it's a precept on that in the 14th chapter of St. John, verse 46. We might as well get a precept on that, young lion. Let's find out what this righteous spirit is, this angel, or in other cases they say the Holy Ghost. So wherever this righteous spirit is, whatever way you want to use the Holy Ghost, righteous spirit, we're going to find out one thing there, young lion. Let's find out what do 14:36 says, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. What do it do that we can read? Come on.
The book of Job, chapter 14, verse 26 reads, "But the comforter, which is the righteous spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I
okay.
have said."
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Whatsoever.
I get excited every now and then. Hold on, young man. See, I get excited every now and then. See, you know, if you want to get the old seer excited, all you got to do is open up that Bible called the King James Bible. And once you do, and once you read a few verses, you can get the seer. He'd be ready to go. Because according to last night lesson in Daniel 6, verse 3, we read, you got to have an extra spirit on you. And in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1, it tell you, and it'll make your face shine and you'll be on something. So the seal will get excited. So if I get excited, just keep your hammer down there, young lion, and just go on straight through it, because it don't take much to get the old seal happy when he hearing the word of Yahweh. So start at that verse 14, 26 one more time and press for that mark. If I do cut in, keep your hammer down. Come on.
Book of Job, chapter 14, verse 26 reads, "But the comforter, which is the righteous spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
Mm-hmm. So whatever he has said, and what he started talking back in way back there in Genesis 1:1. So he will bring back everything that's written from Genesis 1:1 to the present. So that's when you feel that Holy Ghost, when you can remember what's on the left side of the book, and you can precept it on the right side of the book. That's when we know you got the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of the righteous spirit. We know what you got when we hear the precept coming at you when you precept your book. Got it? Good. All right. Well, we got the tag team young lion coming on stage. He says, "Look, I'm the tag team young lion." He came on stage too. We got to bring him on. So will you meet Brother Micaiah, another one of them young lions that want to roar on tape number 6, up and coming teacher out of Catalan. Brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Yahweh be there, see
you. Yahweh bless you there, see you, Israel. Oh, see you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Well, there, young lion. Well, you sound like you're ready to roar on take number six, and that's a great thing. So we got the young lions, and I was watching them young lions on YouTube, and I seen two lions up there. I said, who are these two lions up there? But I looked at it real carefully, and I said, that's Brother Micaiah and Brother Titus, the young lion on YouTube. Then I clicked on that YouTube, and I seen some saying, United in Yahweh's covenant. Unity in Yahweh's covenant. I said, well, what is this? Let me click on that and see what's going on with that one. You mean unity is in YHWH covenant. I thought unity was when we just come together as a family. No, see, right. Unity is when you got YHWH program up front. That is unity. All right. So when I clicked on that and went in the room, I heard some pretty good teaching going on in there. I had to take me some notes. I like that. So I would definitely be going back to YouTube again and searching for them two lions, one called Young Lion Micaiah and one called Young Lion Brother Titus Israel. That's them young lions, up-and-coming teachers. Feel love every minute of it. All right, good enough. Now, the mothers said, hey, Seer, now you know, oh, mother, he said, look, Seer, I'm in this thing to win it. Look, whatever I can do to help in and get in where I've been in, I'm ready to go. And that's a great thing. See, I have to lead by example. That's the mother of Camp One. So we got mothers in all six camps. But the mother out of Camp One, Mother East, look at it, I lead by example. And that's what it's all about. And we know Mother Z sitting down at the table right now saying, look here, I missed the day because I want to double up real soon. So she might double up tonight. I don't know. We'll find out a little bit later. But right now, Mother E coming to stage for take number six. Hey, Mother E, Tribal Yacht Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp One. Y'all quite beat you there, see right here.
Yahweh bless you, Israel, see you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, hallelujah, Yahweh there, mother. Excellent. You know, by the way, before I get off into what I just get ready to get off into, the spirit of Yahweh will take you the way he wants you to go. And I want to ask the young lion brother, Micaiah, something. Can you go on that telephone, that old one-eyed Satan, and look up when did English start? English, the English language, and who started, and what did they do? What can that one-eyed Satan tell us about the English language? Can you help those see out for K6? I need to know something about the English language. When did it start, and who brought it where? So whatever you got on the English language, take the time there, young lion, and tell this national audience over 800,000 strong on the international side about the origin of the English language and who taking it where. What can we all read together just in case somebody want to backtrack and see is you putting down what the history say. Or you putting down what you want to say. So take your time there, young lion. Let's talk about the beginning, the starting, and who started the English language and what year. Come on.
All right. Reading from Wikipedia, the history of English. It states, English is a West Germanic language that originated from Ivanic languages. Brought to Britain in the mid-5th to 7th century A.D. by Anglo-Saxon migrants from what is now Northwest Germany.
Excellent. So English was brought by the Anglo-Saxon to Europe. So the peoples over there in Europe did not speak English.
The English language was brought to them in the 5th century by the Anglo-Saxons, which is originated by bloodline descendants of Esau. Because you got two Anglo-Saxons. One from the original Anglo-Saxon, what they call Isaac and Jacob. But the sons of Esau, the 5 sons taking that name, and they became the Anglo-Saxon because they got a history of taking names and putting their name on whatever they work with. What you mean, WCC? What about a case in point? Oh, okay. Young Lion, Brother Titus, give a case
yes, sir.
In point. 1 Maccabees 3:48. That the sons of Esau always will look at whatever on the table, and then they'll insert themselves in there with it. As here can we read about them in action by going to 1 Maccabees chapter 1, and these are books that they call the Apocrypha. In 1885, the Catholic Church, the Protestant, the Protestants, taking out 14 books. So when you read your Bible, you don't see nothing in it called the 14 books that's in between Matthew's and Malachi. You say, well, I don't have it. Because, well, you owe it to the Catholic Church. They snatched it out. Got it? Good. So we're not going to jump into that right now. We don't get off into what we on right now. So what you on right now there, young Titus? What you getting ready to read?
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 48. 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 48 reads, and laid open the book of the law, wherein the heathen nation of Esau and his 5 sons had sought to paint the likeness of their images.
So there you go right there. They look right at your records and seen all them old good brownies, Miller, brown, all them brown peoples in that book, in their book. And when they came in power in the book of Maccabees by Alexander, they came in power and out of them come a wicked root. They look right at your brown book with all them brown pictures in there and they throw a painting the likeness of themselves. And you know, it would spread up to Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo when they painted, got the man's name, son, Caesar Borgia. His father had his son paint, had his son to be painted, and he could become the one you look at on your wall today. So that's a picture of Caesar Borgia. The Borgia family, that his father in the 13th century, 800 somewhere in that era, they paint him and gave you a picture and said, this is going to be the one that we want you to bow your knee to. So we got the history on that, but we're not getting off of that neither. So, but we find out right now, they paint the likeness of themselves in there. And who was the day? Let's see if we read who the day is, Titus.
Yes, sir.
Go to Obadiah chapter 1. Let's find out who is the day that did this. And when you paint the likeness of yourself, the Bible got a definition of what you are when you look red at them brown peoples in the book and paint pale red in the book. They got a name and they call you something that we can read in the book of Obadiah. Let's see what we can read. They'll call you for doing these things. Another seer have the prophecy on it. Obadiah chapter 1:1-6. What does it say?
The book of Obadiah, the seer, chapter 1, verse 1-6. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1 reads, the vision of Obadiah, thus said Yahweh concerning Esau and his 5 sons. We have heard a rumor from Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the nations. Arise ye, let us rise up against her in battle. Verse 2, behold, I have made you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. Verse 3, the pride of your mind have deceived you. You that dwellest in the cleft of the rocks, whose habitation is high, and said in his mind, who should bring me down to the ground? Verse 4, though you exalt yourself as an eagle, and though you set your nets among the stars, there will I bring you down, said Yahweh. Verse 5, if thieves came to you, if robbers by night, or are you cut off, would they not have stolen till they have enough? And if the great gatherers came to you, would they not need some grapes? Verse 6, how are the things of Esau and his five sons searched out? Or his hidden things sought up?
That's a great thing. He said, has Esau and his five sons, has this information coming out? That's a big point. I wonder how this information is coming out. Do anybody have an idea on information that's Mother E, can you help those see out by finding out that what we got to do that we can read in 69 verse 4 of Psalms there, Mother? Hey Mother, 69 verse 4. Can you help those see out, Mother E, in 69 verse 4? What that say?
Okay, the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 4. Psalms chapter 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hair of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemy, wrongful, were mightier than I. Restore that which I took not away.
So once you start revealing some things, you will have enemies. The enemy is going to be the closest. Mm-hmm. Might even be your brother, mother, might be your auntie. When you start rebuilding things that goes against what they have studied and put all the sweat and tears in, and then you tell them to read the Bible on some things, and they get excited. They just can't sleep no more, and they want to get at you some kind of way. You know, when you start revealing things that's in the Bible, and you're only speaking on what's in the Bible, but it says, how is Esau and his hidden things sought out? Somebody is bringing out some things that Esau and his five sons have been doing. A lot of people cannot sit well with this information. This information, they can't sit well with it. So, young mind, Brother Micaiah, look down at the 49th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and help those see out in 8 down to verse 10. Brother Micaiah, what can we read in the 49th chapter, 8 down to verse 10? Because see what happens when you start, when your life come on, that means you want your loved ones to come and look at this light that I'm looking at. And if you find out one that we've been, you know, taught wrong, and as a family member, you try to, if you find out something, you share with your family, but then they look at that. Where you get that from? From the Bible? From the Bible? Where that at? Now, that's a great thing, but let's go over it. That's why we always say, always talk to your loved ones with a verse on the table. Don't get happy to talk without a book open, because they're going to give you more problems. But let them read, then respond to what we just got through reading. Then they might have a look calmer for a second or two. Now, in the 49th chapter Brother Micaiah. In 8 through 10, Jeremiah the seer wrote something. What did he wrote that we can read? 49, 8 through 10.
The book of Jeremiah, 49. Jeremiah the seer. Chapter 49, verse 8 down to verse number 10. Verse 8 reads, "Flee you, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of the Dan. For I will bring the calamity of Esau and his five sons upon him, the time that I will visit him." Verse 9. "If grape gatherers come to you, will they not leave some clean grapes? If these by night, they would destroy till they have enough." Verse 10. "But I have made Esau and his five sons bear. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is sport in his brother, in his neighbor, and he is not."
Hey, so he says that what he's saying, that's precept. Hey, Mother E, what is he saying? Give me 60 verse 22, Mother E. What is he saying? He's saying something. He said, now Esau's seed have been spoiled. He can't hide himself. So now when you look at Esau, Esau is Jacob's brother. Both of them got the mothers of Rebekah and Isaac. But Esau came out red, hairy all over like a red garment, and Jacob come out smooth. So who are the people that got smooth backs of color? That's Jacob. His name was changed to Esau. And those that got hair all over them and look reddish, they got hair grow all on them, everywhere, especially on the back, on their hands, that's Esau descendants. So they exist today. So all you got to do is look for the ones that need to make sure. Yeah. Everything can go on strike but the razor blades. Now, if the razor blades go on strike, now you will see an uproar because they got to have that razor blade to shave the back off, legs and everything else, and hands, on top of their hands. So whoever that is, you put your hand on Esau and Jacob. Got it? Good. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So Mother E, what you getting ready to read for the national audience over 800,000 strong? What you getting ready to read? Come on.
You said 60 verse 22. What chapter?
Oh, Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 60.
Yeah,
60. 22.
Yes, ma'am.
A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. After Yahweh will hasten it in his time.
Oh. So the Yahweh will hasten it in his time. His time is now, see, right? So whatever's been covered going to be revealed now. And Esau and his five sons, they can't hide themselves no more. See, everything they have did, you know, this is a timeline for it to be revealed. And we're going to reveal it all. It's the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. So it's no accident. You can go to Facebook, you go to YouTube, and you can put up the voices of a true Israelite up on the BOTTY tribe, YHDH. Just put space in between it and put up cast and sit back and, you know, get you some nice herbal tea. And if you got a little one by, so let's run back and listen to some of this good stuff cut out the Bible. You'd be surprised how it do for your feelings. It'll get you in the upbeat. So, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't know Esau was translated today as the white man, the white woman. So that's the case. Joseph Smith, that
met the father and the son, that's Esau. That's Esau. So now, they're teaching, and they foundationally on the father and the son appeared to him and gave him new tablets and said, whatever you're in now, put that to the side. You're going to do a new thing, and you'll be the seer, and I'm going to give you another book called the Mormon's Book. Now, see, that sounds good. It sounds good, but we know one thing. You Esau, and you said that you prayed for deliverance of somebody in Israel's mighty one. You said that. Hey, good. Is that in your mind? You Esau. We Israel. See, so you want out there now. Let's see, can you, will it hold up? Now, so we know Joseph Smith is the descendant of Esau, translated today as the white man and the white woman. We know the one that's sitting over there in the Vatican City is the Pope. They are the descendants of Esau, translated as the white man and the white woman. We know Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci painted Caesar Borgia's picture from moving what we read in 1 Maccabees 3:48. People of color, and they paint the likeness of themselves. So they call that word they use for that. What word do they use for that? Can you in your mind tell me now? They got a word used for that. That when they paint, can y'all help me out? Can you help those say out the word?
A colorism.
Y'all go ahead.
Iconolism.
Say it again.
Iconolism.
Okay, well that's good. Well, that's good enough. Means you to break that definition down. There. Go ahead, young lion. Go ahead, young lion. Break that definition down. Cataclysm. That's what you're saying. Cataclysm, but break it down for the national audience over 800,000. That word mean, and whoever got that phone to study this, that started ringing in the background, put it on silent for a minute so we can take care of Yahuwah's business. So cataclysm, what do that definition mean? I mean, remember, we come on the network to feed the international's flesh, not ours. So we got a long word called cataclysm. So what that word means for them on the international side to know, what that word means, come on.
Okay. All right. A cataclysm. I'm going to the Wikipedia. A cataclysm means to break, it says, is the social belief in the importance of the destruction of icons, other images or monuments, most frequently for religious or political reasons.
Okay. It means to destroy icons of other peoples and then build themselves up. That's what cataclysm means. They look right at the image of the Bible on the books that they had for the 12 tribes of Israel. They conquered the 12 tribes of Israel and taking their records and look red their images and paint over they, white out their images and brought their images in. And that's why you got red now. And your mother, your brothers will fight you tooth and nail over this pale white person, red looking. They'll fight you tooth and nail. Huh? See, because they know that goes off into the Catholic Church, and every statue they see is pale red. And everybody kiss the feet of pale red people. So they're going to fight you tooth and nail. I'm telling you like it is. But the Bible don't support none of that. Not so far. Good. All right, now. So, now let's see where we at now. So now, where we at, Brother Micaiah, where we at now? What would you hold it for those seals?
I was reading the book. The last thing I was reading. The last thing I was reading was Jeremiah chapter 49. And we got done reading verse 8 down to 10. Then we went to Isaiah 60:22.
Okay. All right. All right. If not, then don't see it get caught up in a good lesson. So well, whatever we own, good. Now, so we find out now that somebody have done some wrongness, and our job is to investigate it and see if it can hold up. Because we heard that Joseph Smith, now we clear that he's the nationality of Esau and his five sons. And we clear that the Pope is from Esau and his five sons. He's not the same seed of Peter, whose signing name was changed to Peter, which they say was the first Pope. That's two different seeds. One from Esau, the Pope, and Simon is from Israel, Judah. So that's two different, but they are combined together. So now, I'll tell you what we do. We'll go back to Obadiah there in Young Lion, Brother Titus.
Yes, sir.
So we read, so now we got our idea that Obadiah is talking about a event to come. This is, he's talking in 587 B.C. He's talking 300 years or so before Alexander, Esau the Great, will be born. So he's talking way in advance. So now, we read 1 through 6. Now let's get down to 8, down to verse 10. Let's see what we can get out of the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, 8 down to verse 10. What's going on that we can read there, Brother Titus? 8 through 10 says what?
The book of Obadiah is here. Chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Obadiah is here, chapter 1, verse 8. Shall I not in that day, said Yahweh, even destroy the wise man out of Esau and his five sons, and understanding out of the mouth of Esau and his five sons. Verse 9. And your mighty man, O Temah, should be dismayed to the end, that everyone on mouth of Esau and his five sons may be cut off by slaughter. Verse 10 reads, For your violence against your brother Israel, shame shall cover you. You should be cut off forever.
Oh! So we found out that Esau, future prophecy, he says, you're going to be what in the last line of verse number 9? What going to happen to you according to Obadiah 587? What going to happen to Esau and his five sons according to the last line in verse 9? What's going to happen that we can read?
Obadiah chapter 1, verse 9, the last line. Mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter.
So he says Esau and his five sons, translated there as the right man and the right woman, will be cut off by slaughter. Why? Why? Verse 10, why? Why? Why would
verse
you 10. Cut off why would you cut these peoples off in the latter days to come? What did they do to be extinct as a people? What did they do? Verse 10.
Obadiah, it's here, chapter 1, verse 10. For your violence against your brother Israel, shame should cover you, and you should be cut off forever.
The Bible said, So it's not going to be no rapture period, but we know now it's the people right here, it's called Esau and his five sons, will be cut off forever. And the appearance of Esau and his five sons today is what's called the white man and the white woman, according to verse 10. You know. See? Now, and what else did they do? What else did they do? Read a little bit more. They violence against the one called African American Negro and Colored Supercone. for your violence, you'll be called forever. What? What did they do that we can read? Let's see what they did in verse 11 down to verse 13. What did they do that we can read that we can just say, okay, well, guess what? According to 11 through 13, this is what you did. Let's see what he done that we can read 11 to 13. What did it say?
The book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 11. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captives, his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Yada Judah, even you was as one of them. Verse 12. But you should not have looked on the day of your brother, and the day that he became a stranger. Neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Verse 13. You should have not entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, you should have not looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their suffering in the day of their calamity.
Oh, there it is. They, when you got taken down by the Syrians, Esau and his five sons seen that the northern kingdom was going down to be taken to Assyria. They got happy, and they pointed you out. There go an Israelite right there. Go, there go one, there go one. Get them all about here. And after, and they spoke proudly, your brother spoke proudly when you went into captivity. Then once you were in the captivity, that means your land was vacant. And look what Esau did. He went right in your land and took over the substance, I mean, all your records, all your books, and he become you. Move his butter. He let the other people do it, and he become you. Now he you. Now he called himself you, and he told you, you African American Negro and Supercomb. He said, who am I in this Bible? Oh, you Christian. That's what you is. Do I have a nationality? No. You got a history came in 1619, and your history is slavery. That's all you got.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you give me a diploma for that? That's all I'm going to know? Yeah, that's all you need to know. It's leave the book alone. I mean, touch the Bible. So this started in 16, and you came and jumped in the boat because you was running around naked. That's all you need to know. Pass that on. But you don't tell us that you taking our substance, our records? But that was only for a time. The time is now for the children of Israel to wake up and find out you're not. You remember the brothers, he said in the 1980s, I am somebody. But he never told you who you were. See, we're going to come tell you who you are. Who you are is the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered up on the names that other people have given to you. Now, what it says in number 18, there, young lion? You read in verse 18.
The book of Obadiah is here, chapter 1, verse 18. And the nation of Israel should be a fire, and to the family of Joseph, a flame. And the nation of Esau, it is fast for stubble. And they should kindle with them, and devour them. And there should not be any remaining of the family nation of Israel. For Yahweh has spoken it.
How is he going to take Esau down? How is he going to do it that we can read? Verse 21. How is he going to do it that we can read? Verse 21.
Book of Obadiah, the seer, chapter 1, verse 21. And Savior shall come up on the governor of Judah to judge the governor of Esau and his five sons, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's.
Oh, so some Savior's going to come in that land over there right now where the five-pointed stars at. He's so late, he going to send some Saviors over there, and they're going to take Esau down. So also, that's what we're in the land today. So the people's over the land of Israel, the sons of Esau, according to the Bible. And he's going to send some Saviors over there and take them down. And the Savior's going to be the one you call African-American Negroes in color. But he's getting them warmed up by getting them in order through this book. See, you just can't run over there now. You got to first understand that you have to have your mighty one up front. And he not going to be up front with you if you just running on zeal. You got to be running on this word. You got to know what this word is saying. Then, and what mother getting ready to read in 54:17 about Isaiah. Hey, mother, what we getting ready to read in Isaiah 54:17? So you just can't just break out running because a land belongs to you. You got to make sure that you move out in the spirit of the YHWH man. Just don't get it happening or move too quick. Because in 54:17, and we can read your mother, Jeremiah, Micaiah, have me a precept in Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 12 to 14. You got we have to make whole plan of the Almighty. See, we come together twice a week on this broadcast, live in classes and all six camps, is to see what the Bible saying, what we got to do. Not think tank. What the Bible saying, we got to do and how it's going to happen. So that's how we got to know. We got to rehearse this righteous act. That's why the broadcast tomorrow at 8 o'clock will be with them, with all the camps being in Pal Talk Room at 8 o'clock. And they're going to talk about the righteous act on Pal Talk. So, they have been lit. The curtain hair went up. It's up to you. Get in where you've been in at now. So, mother, what you getting ready to read in Isaiah 54:17? You have to say out there, mother. He, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, said Yahweh.
Is no weapon formed against you going to prosper. This is for the one in him that got the mighty one up front. So it's no accident going to YouTube and look and press them two lions, and then you see the name pop up on the broadcast. It says Unity in YHWH Covenant, and you see them fringes. So when you go to YouTube, just right back and get you some nice herbal tea and enjoy some teaching from the voices of a true Israelite. Because after the game came to back, remember, don't have your zeal break out running without having your mighty one up front. But you're going to lose. That's why everything must be YHWH. Got it? Good. Now, I need a second witness there from Micaiah in Ezekiel 20. Can you have to see what it says in verse 14 to 14? I need a second witness on how this is going to happen, so we be clear that we know how this is going to happen, so we can be able to read it. And then I ask you how it's going to happen. We said, you got a minute, you got your Bible? Oh, no, I'm about to read mine. Read my 25. 12 through 14, come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 12 down to verse 14. Verse 12 reads, thus says the Yahuwah, Yahweh, because that Esau and his five sons had dealt against the family of Yahweh Judah by taking vengeance and have greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Verse 13. Therefore, thus says the Yahweh, I will also stretch out my hand upon Esau, his five sons, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from T-Man, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. Verse 14. And I will lay my vengeance upon Esau and his five sons by the hand of my people, Israel, and they shall do in Esau and his five sons according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says the Yahweh, Yahweh.
That's right.
See, when you can read what the Yahweh. You know, see, we realize that he's going to put a spirit on Tribe of Judah, the one you call African American, Negro, color, and super cool. They're going to learn how to navigate this. And then they'll get in the water. Then Yahweh will put a spirit on them. And this is how they're going to go down, by you understanding the truth of the word. Because Yahweh going to be your front. He's going to send you over there with his power in front and deliver them up. So that's how it's going to happen. See, there it is. So that's how it's going to happen. So what we do know, Mother E, we got to know that something in Ezekiel 36, Mother E. So we got to know, this is what we got to tell, because you know you make sure you let them know, hold on, don't give up. But in Ezekiel 36 there, Mother, verse 8, let me see if I can help. You know, your closing statement, you tell them to hold on, don't give up. Let's see why did you tell them that we can read in Ezekiel 36, verse 8. Let's see why you tell the world, hold on and don't give up. Let's see if there's a verse that can back that up in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 8.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 8. But ye, O mountain of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come.
Ain't that something? We are at hand to come, mother. So once we organize, he said, listen, we're going to shoot forth our fruits, our branches, because we are at hand to come. He says, it's all about the six anointed camps organizing, come on, one accord, those that get in where they fit in at, know how to go through the Bible and do the breakdowns with no problem. Just like, for example, we get a case in point about knowing how to go through the breakdowns. Like, well, for example, somebody take you, Brother Micaiah, they might take you Exodus 3:14. Let's see what happens. Here go your breakdown. Here they're going to do. They're going to take you over to 3:14 of Exodus. Now, let's see if we rehearse the righteous act. Okay, well, I'm happy that you went to 3:14. What did it say? Exodus 3:14, Brother Micaiah, what did it say?
Went over to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, picking up at verse number 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14, reads, and Yahweh said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you.
Mm-hmm. So now, all the big dignitaries are going to say, well, what's his name? Well, his name is I am. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's see, can it hold up? Let's go to Isaiah 41, verse 4. Let's precept it there. Let's see, can it stand a precept there? You say his name is I am, that I am, that's his name. Let's precept the Bible and see, can it hold up? Isaiah 41:4.
Going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. We're going to pick it up at verse number 4. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse number 4, and it reads, who has wrought and done, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Yahweh, the first and the last. I am he.
For he says, I'm Yahweh, I am he. Now, as he sees it, here it come in the body there, Holy Micaiah. St. John chapter 8, 6 down to verse 8. What does it say? St. John chapter 18, verse 6 down to verse 8. What is it?
Going over there to the book of St. John chapter 18, verse 6 down to verse 8. The book of St. John chapter 18, verse 6 reads, As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Verse 7. Then asked he them again, who seek you? And they said, Yahweh the son of Nazareth. But Yahweh the son asked, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way.
You see, he's saying that when you read the I am and I am he, that's Yahweh the Son. And Yahweh the Son done what, Titus? What did Yahweh the Son done did in 5:43 of St. John? What did he do that we can read? Brother Titus,
yes,
5:43. John, what did he do?
Go to the book of John, chapter 5. Verse 43, John chapter 5, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another should come in his own name, him you will receive.
So they come in Father's name, and we know that the name that the world talks about their young lions. Can anybody give me a stalk of documents about, is in the stalk of records about when did the name Jesus come, even in print? Can anybody give me any historical documents on this name Jesus? And we can read to the national audience, because everybody that have this name Jesus in their mouth. But could anybody give this the audience darker records on this name Jesus? Who gonna take that task? Come on.
Yahweh. All right, read that the name of GLD, page 2 of 24, and it reads, the Septuagint Greek Old Testament provides which the Semitic name would be the name of the Savior in the New Testament. It is actually the Hebrew word, or Semitic word, angelosized Joshua, or better, okay, the full pronunciation without spelling the middle Semitic letter would be YHWH, meaning YHWH is salvation. And this fact, our English New Testament Bible should be full of Joshua. Everyone, where you see Jesus, look at Acts 7:45. Joshua is called Jesus in the real King James Version, KJV.
Mm-hmm.
Fortune.
But hold that point there, young man, but I was going to need something directly. I need some directly here about how long this name Jesus has been on the scene. I need some numbers. Did anybody of them young lions get old seal the one hit? I need some numbers.
I got
I need I know the seal looking so we want to exhibit.
I got
I need some numbers. I need
yes, sir.
About this.
Instead of instead of the new 250-year-old substitute named Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well,
that's what I want, the number one. The name, how old his name is. Document that. How old is it?
250-year-old name, Jesus.
What name?
Jesus.
He said if Jesus' name ain't but it's just a little past 250. So this name that we all caught up on is the Starker Doctor. Remember, but if they wrong, you can sue them.
Mm-hmm.
They said in history that this name that's in our throat, big time, Jesus is just a little past 250 years old. Now you see that? Every manuscript of the Bible was closed in 96 A.D. English started in 449 A.D. English was brought by the Anglo-Saxon to the sons of Japhetic peoples and Judah, called today Europeans. So this is a made-up language that started in 449, became official language in 1382.
Mm-hmm.
When John put his in 96 A.D., the almighty story was told, and there was no name called nowhere Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, or Buddha. They didn't even exist at the time. So when we come and enlighten you about names that didn't exist and who brought these names in, then you get mad at the Sixth Anointed Council. We enlighten you to prove us wrong by using 41:21 of Brother McCaffrey. All you got to do is just go to Isaiah 41:21. You know, we ain't got no problem with it. What it say in Isaiah 41:21?
Going over there to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. You want to pick it up at verse number 21. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 21 reads, produce your cause, said the Yahuwah. Bring forth your strong reed, said the King of Israel.
You see that? So produce your call. You know, don't just all you want to talk about that, you know, if I can get my hands on him with fear, I'll kick him by the neck and run him into the tree. Why do you want to run him into the tree? Produce your call. If we wrong, then show us that what we can read what we wrong at. Darker documents fact say the name Jesus was not in nobody's mouth until you produce English. English was talked about before 449 A.D. English became an official language in 1382.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't get to Jesus until the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
The most. I've been closed since 96 A.D. They don't know nothing about no Jesus. Produce your cause. You got a record for it. Show us what it was called, Lord God Jesus Christ in English. It didn't exist. Now, and if that's the case, Mother, what do it say, Mother, that we can read? Case in point. We're going to St. John chapter 19. Verse 16 through 8 months. Let's go to John 15, verse 16 down to verse 20. Now, this watch what it says, that here goes the super instructions about some things, and you tell me you get out of Matthew chapter 19, 16 down to verse 20. Come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 to 20.
John,
Mother. Make it St. John, chapter 19, 16 to 20.
St. John, chapter 19, verse 16 to 20. Verse 16. and the man in whom the Hebrew fear was beat on them and overcome them.
What you read?
Hold on, mother.
What you read? I'm in St. John chapter 19. Look right down at verse 16. Very careful. St. John chapter 19, verse 16.
Okay. I was in Acts 19. St. John chapter 19, verse 16 to 20. Okay. I got it right. St. John chapter 19, verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Yahweh the Son and led him away. Verse 17. And he bearing his cross tree went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Verse 18, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Yahweh in the midst. Verse 19, and Pilate wrote a tile and put it on the crown on the tree. And the writing was, Yahweh of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Verse 20. This title being read, many of the Jews of the place where Yahweh was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Greek and Latin.
It was written. Now, this he says that it was written. Say it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Now, all we got to do when we sit our brothers down, sisters down, tell me, let's put up Hebrew, Greek, or Latin, and we will see in the Hebrew language, Latin or Greek, is anything in there that says Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, or Buddha. Hebrew, Greek, or Latin do not have, and even to this day, no word saying Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah. Even to this day. So you tell your brothers, your sister, your mama, say, mama. When Pilate wrote over the head who this man were, he said he was the king of Judah. Said the language that was spoken by the peoples in that day for them to understand who this guy is. Here go the language. It was three languages spoken. Hebrew, which is Semitic, Greek, and Latin. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, and in the Latin, even to this day, they have no name by saying Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah. It's not even there. So you can't produce your cause because the language that was spoken was Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And in the Hebrew language today, Latin or Greek, they have no names called Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, or Jehovah. So you see, you can't produce your cause. You, not with the book open, you can talk a good game. But you can't produce your cause, not in right, because the eyewitness says there was no such language as the Lord God and Jesus in the time
that he was hung on the tree. There was no such language. Now we're going to get a precept on it by Brother Micaiah. We're going to get a precept on it. Let's run to the book of Luke, Brother Micaiah, and we'll look at verse 37 and 38. We'll precept on it. See, when you precept your Bible, that's the game changer. We want to know that the people of that day, what language was in their country as, and we're going to get a second witness by going to Luke 23, 37, 38. What it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 37 and verse 38. Verse 37 reads, and saying, if you be the king of Yadadju, save yourself. 38. And a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, Germanic tongue. This is the king of Yadadju.
You see that? It was written in three languages. The three languages that were spoken in the time of Yahweh the Son was Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. See that? So even today, you sit your brothers down, your sisters down, and say, look, here go the Hebrew language, here go the Greek language, here go the Latin language. When you find Lord God of Jesus in there, then you stop and show it to me. They gonna say, oh, big sister, little sister, it's not in there. Okay, that means it didn't exist. Jesus, we so much that's in the season of Jesus is only less than 300 years old today. This is a new name. A new name. This name is a new name. Jesus is a new name. And that was showed John in 1:17 and 4:1 of Revelation, that in that cup it's going to be a new name in that cup. And that's what John was marveled about. And that new name was going to be Jesus. That's a new name. People in the book never heard no name called Lord God of Jesus. But the man that takes your records, that wipe you out and put himself in there, he changed all of the names to names that fit him. He is the Lord God and Jesus and the Allah and the Buddha man. But he don't put that on you. So in Mark chapter 15 now, young lion, what can we read in verse 26 and 31? 26 and 31.
Mark chapter 15. We're going over to the book of Mark. Chapter 15, we want verse 26 and verse number 31. The book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 26 reads, in the subscription of his accusation was written over the king of Yadadju. Verse 31, likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribe, he saved others, himself he cannot save.
Mm-hmm. Read 31 again. Read again, because I got happy that young man. Read 31 again.
The book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 31. 31 reads, likewise also the chief priest, marking, said among themselves with the scribe, he saves others, himself he cannot save.
He saves others, and he cannot. Read another verse there. Read one more verse there, young man. I need to give me just a little bit more.
All right.
They call him something in 31. I want to take my time and peep at it myself. The chief priests, all the religious leaders, they call him something. And I just want to hear what they call him, the eyewitness. What did they call him? What did the eyewitness call him in the 15th chapter of Mark, right? It's something that they call him that we can see in verse number 32. What did they call him in 32? It's something they call him.
I think we need to all hear together. The eyewitness called him something. They called him in verse 32.
Okay. We're going back over. We're reading the book of Mark. Chapter 15, verse 32 reads, "Let Yahweh the Son, the King of Israel, descend now from the King."
Hold on, young man. Don't say it, get in here for a minute. You mean the eyewitness looked right at him, hang on that tree, and called him by name. What? What they call him?
The King of Israel.
The King of Israel. This guy's the King of Israel. Do you know the King of Israel in the Bible is the one you call African-American, Negro in color? This guy is the King of Israel. See, this is one of the greatest myths in teaching. This guy is the King of Israel. Saying, Catholic Church out there in New York saying, here, you got to get a second witness on that. Well, he is the King of Israel. Let's get a second witness there, there, young lion. Go to 149, give him a second witness. The Roman Catholic Church out of New York, headed by Big Timothy Dolan, said they need a second witness. You want a second witness? Here we go on to St. John 149 and give you a second witness. You want a second witness? Okay. Let's see what the eyewitness is.
The book of St. John, chapter 1.
St. John. Yes.
Verse 49. The book of St. John, chapter 1, verse 49 reads, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Master, you are the Son of Yahweh. You are the King of Israel.
He said, you are the Son of Yahweh the Father. You are the King of Israel. See that? He's the King of Israel. So this is the King of Israel right here. In Israel, well, you call the Israelites. He's the King of Israel. So when you jump his people, he ain't happy because he's the King of Israel. And he made a statement. Hey, Mother E, he made a statement about that in Matthew 25. Something he said about that. You might as well bring it out, Mother. Something he said in Matthew 25 about the King of Israel, he says something about that, Mother. What he says in Matthew 25, verse, since we know he's the King of Israel according to eyewitness, let's see what he says. He read Matthew 25, Mother. Verse 45 and 46. And Brother Titus, tell me, I'm going to take a look at something because there's a statement on the table. I want to take a look at something. I want Matthew chapter 7, take it on down to verse 27, then read 29, then read verse 28. So, Brother Titus, help me. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 27, then read verse 29 and skip back up to verse 28. Had that wait for those here in a minute after the mother take a look at this here. In Matthew 25, Mother, what it says in verse 45 and 46, what can we read that he says? What do you say? Matthew 25, 45, and 46. What do you say, Mother?
The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 45 and verse 46. Verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, truly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these least of the least of these, ye did it not to me. verse 43. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
So he said, by him being a king of Israel, he said, when you do it to the least of them, it's just like you have done to me. He said, your penalty going into the fire in everlasting punishment. That's what he just said. He said, when you keep on jumping little ones that he's the king over, he said, when I come back, I'm going to get you. He said, you're going into everlasting punishment and fire when you mess with the least of them, because I'm their king. He said, you're going into the fire. And in verse 25, 30, mother, what's going to be going on in that fire? He said, this is what's going to happen to you, so I've got to tell you. You keep on jumping the 12 tribes of Israel, especially the six anointed camps. We let you know how your end going to be according to the Bible. 25, verse 30. The law we bring you what the Bible saying. 25, verse 30, what it says.
And cast you, unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
He said, you unprofitable servants, that's the one that's Israelite descent. That's unprofitable servants. You know, you always want to run and tell mass or something. You be quick to tell mass or something about the six anointed camps and all type of things. Listen, you got a problem coming. Because all thing we bring you is the word of the Almighty. And if you blaspheme against the word of the Almighty, you ain't got nothing coming. We showing what the man going to do. He got it written. And our job is just only bring back what he going to say to your remembrance. And now another case in point there, Brother Titus. In the book called Matthew's there, Brother Titus, it's a statement that's written in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21 down to verse 27. Then read verse 29 and skip back up to 28. What did it say there, young lion? Come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21 reads, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, skip down verse 27, 29 up to 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Reads, not everyone that said unto me, Yahweh, Yahweh, and shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he is he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 27 reads,
no,
and the rest,
sit on down.
I'll sit on down.
Hold on there, young lion. Hold on. Let me go over again. Matthew chapter 7. Read verse 21 down to verse 27, then go to 29 and skip back up to 28. Come on.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Yahweh, Yahweh, have I not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils. And in your name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And did what I profess unto them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work in sin. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his family a nation upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, and it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened to a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. All right, verse 29 to 28, and he taught them as one having authority, and as not as the scribe. Verse 28, and it came to pass, when Yahweh the Son had ended these things, the people were astonished at his teaching.
Yeah. So he said, you know, you can know this name. You can know the name YHWH. That's a good thing to know the name. But you have to be a little bit more, according to verse 24. Read verse 24 again, that young lion. I mean, it's a great thing. I mean, that's the number one thing, to know his name. That's great to know his name. Well, look what he said in verse 24.
The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would like him unto a wise man which buildeth his house, his family, nation upon the rock.
He said, yeah, you can know the name, but you gotta also be a doer. He said, I liken you wise if you know my name. That's a great name to know my name. That's God number one. But not only that, once you know the name, that means you have to you gotta do Baruch 428. It says in 428, see, once you know his name, great thing. Then he says something you got to do, you know, in 428 there, young lion, Micaiah. What did Baruch say? Because he had to be cleaned up. So now Baruch know the name. Yeah, Baruch, you know my name, right, Baruch? What he say in Baruch chapter 4, verse 28 there, young lion?
Hold on to the book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 28. The book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 28 reads, for as it was your mind to go astray from Yahuwah, so being returned, seek him 10 times more.
Is that? Once you know his name, that now you got to go now. So you know his name. Now you got to seek him how many times?
10 times more.
10 times more. See that? See, when you go astray, now you back. You know his name is the four letters. Now he's looking for some more balanced out in you. You got to seek him 10 times more. Now back to our brother, Titus. So we find out right now that you just can't be a hearer of this word. You got to be a doer. The doer of what? Where are you pulling this verse from in Psalms 40, verse 8? Hey, young lion, where is he pulling this verse from that we can read in Psalm? You got to be a doer of what? Once you know the name, YHWH, now he requires some things out of you. You got to be a Psalms 40, verse 8. What does it say?
We're going over to the book of Psalms. We're going over to the book of Psalms. Chapter 40. We're going to pick it up at verse number 8. The book of Psalms. Chapter 40. Oh, hold on. How about that? The book of Psalms.
Verse 8.
Yeah, my page is getting stuck on me. The book of Psalms. Chapter 40. We're going to pick it up at verse number 8. Verse 8 reads, I delight to do your will, O my Yahuwah. Yes, your law is within my mind.
Oh, so once you know his name, we got to go 10 times more because his name activates us doing the what in 40, verse 8? What we got to do?
Yeah, do the law.
You got to do the law. The law, first five books. That means once you know the name, then Mr. Preacher, the law ain't done away with. You know his name. Now he wants you to seek him 10 times most. Now you got to do the law. The first five books, what's written? Give me Isaiah 40, verse 8 there, Brother Micaiah. What is it saying? Isaiah? What did Isaiah say 300 years later? What did Isaiah say that we can read in 40, verse 8?
Going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, picking up at verse number 8. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse number 8 reads, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Yahuwah shall stand forever.
So the word stands forever.
So what we got to do now, once we know the name, we got to make sure we're doing the law now. Because the word is going to stand forever. So what's going to stand is his word. Because he, and they pull that from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 there, Brother Micaiah. That verse is pulled. What it said in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And Mother Eve, tell me St. John chapter 12, verse 46 down to verse 50, had that waiting on me. St. John, chapter 12, verse 46 down to verse 50. Had that waiting on me there, Mother.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse number 3, verse 3 reads, and he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew is not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh do man live.
So man live by every word that come out of his mouth. He said, you know my name, it's the four letters. Okay, now, seek me 10 times more, and how do you seek him? Out of the law. Make sure you got the first five books down, that's all. First five books tells us a great story in that first five books. So, Mother E, what you getting ready to read in St. John 12, 46 down to verse 50?
St. John chapter 12, verse 46 to 50. Verse 46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 47, and if any man hears my word and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 8, He that rejected me and received not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50, and I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father says unto me, so I speak.
He said, the only thing I speak is what the Father gave me to speak. He said, right. I don't be talking out of my flesh. He said, and the same thing, when we let it work, we're not speaking out of our flesh. We're speaking from what the book is saying. We want to comment on these verses. So he said he come to save the world. But now we're going to precept and find out what world he came to save. Mm-hmm. Mother, we're going to Isaiah 45, verse 17. Let's find what world he come to say. I mean, these things have to be known because, you know, and when you precept your Bible, it tell you the story. He said, I come to say the word. Now, we want to find out what world you come to say. And all way you'll do it is precept your Bible. So what world did he come to say that we can read, Mother, in Isaiah 45, verse 17? What world did he come to say?
That we can
read together. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confirmed world without a sin.
So he come to say the world of Israel. First, he said they're not going to be confounded. See, Israel got to understand something. This man come to save you from you. And that was the prayer was all about, Mother. It was a prayer made. Luke chapter 1, 67. Let's keep reading till we get found the prayers. See, it was a prayer that was made, Mother. See, we got to understand, it's a prayer was made. He said, I come to save the children of Israel. Save them from what? See, the only one need to be saved is according to what we're getting ready to read in 167 to 42. I mean, to 72, mother. See, you know what I'm saying? Something, it's time for this Bible to be taught. Yes, he's a savior. Saved. But who we come to save first, we got to read some Bible. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 72, mother. And Brother Titus have me James 2, 19 and 20. And it's because you know his name, we're going to find out somebody else knew his name, but that don't stop what he got coming for him. You can know the name, but you got to be a doer of the name. We'll get a case in point.
Yeah,
after mother, read that 167 to 72. Let's say we can read, mother. Luke chapter 1, 67 to 72. Come on.
Okay, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 67 to 72. Verse 67 reads. And his father, Zachariah, was filled with the righteous spirit and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Yahweh of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Verse 69, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us and the family of his servant David. Verse 70, as he speak by the mouth of his righteous seal, which have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promise to our Father, and to remember his righteous covenant.
Mm. So all the one need a savior is the one that's is persecuted all over the world. So that's all you know. They don't need no savior. What do you savior for? They got everything. They make laws, take away laws. They have you pay for water that's flowing freely? What did he be saved for? They got best of everything on earth. So that's the last thing they need to be saved from their enemy. They ain't got no enemies. They don't need to be saved. This one needs to be saved, the one that's in the predicament that we're in now. And all we see, knock, knock, who is there? Bill. Always Bill showing up. Here come old Bill. Every time you hear old Bill coming. So we don't want to need to be saved. So there goes the prophecy right there. See, we're trying to get away from old Bill. Old Bill always shows up. He's making his business show up to us. Guess who sent us Bill?
Yeah.
And guess who sent us Bill? It's the sender of the Esau. The white man and the white woman is the one sending you Bill. Every time you give a Bill from the white man to the white woman, right? That's what you want to be
That's
saved
right.
from. Now, good. Now, remember, because we know his name, James is the brother of Yahweh the Son. Let's see what he says about, because we know the name, then we got automatic salvation. Let's see what James says in 2, verse 19 and 20. What did he say?
The book of James, Yahweh the Son's brother, chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 20. James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe it that there is one Yahweh. You do it well. The devil also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But will you know now, obey man, that faith, covenant without works is dead.
He You see me call you old bang man and bang woman. He said, at least Satan know his name, but he do tremble when he tremble. You know his name, you pay it no never mind. But by Satan knowing his name, do that keep him from not getting just due? Let's see. Matthew 25:41. Let's find out. Now Satan know his name. But we could have read it in the 57th chapter 1-11. We could have read back and read in the book of Adam and Eve. Satan know his name. Well, let's see, will that get him some salvation? What's that going to get him by he knowing the name of Brother Titus in 25:41?
The book of Matthew. Yes, sir. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for Satan the devil and its wicked angels.
You see that? He said, you're going to end up, you're going to crap yourself and end up with the fire, in the fire too. He said, the fire was already prepared for Satan and his wicked angels. And you're going to crap up and end up right there with him by hollering, Lord God and Jesus and Allah and Buddha. You end up in it. Because the name that you call on going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. And you take the last night cake and put it together, you'll see it. When Satan know the name, Yahuwah, but that ain't going to save Satan. Satan going to the fire. And those that's up on the same ministry is going to the fire too. And how we know you're up on the same ministry? Because you're not calling by his name. And that's why when you go on YouTube, you're going to see a big old picture with the name on it. The name. You got to have the name. That's good. Now, end time prophecy. Revelation 20:10, brother Titus and brother Micaiah. Tell me Romans 2:13 backed over James 1:22-25. So listen, you can know his name is the four letters, YHWH. But that's great. But now it's time for you to seek him 10 times more by knowing the name. Case in point, Satan know his name. But let's see, will that stop his faith from getting, according we told John in 20:10? What did it say, Brother Titus, 20:10, what did it say?
Entire prophecy, book of Revelation, chapter 20:10. And Satan the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false pope, bishop, deacon, pastor, and should be torment day and night, forever and ever.
That's right. Exactly. He read that right. See that pope over there in the Vatican City, whichever one it be, the one that's dead or the one that can wake up, when it's all said and done, every last one of them popes is going into the bottom of the lake of fire. Every last one of them. Even the one that's sitting in the seat now, the one he's a successor of before him, he gonna be woke up, and all of them going into the fire. That's just the way it is. That's right there. Because all of them was given the name of Jesus by Satan. Satan gave him that name, Jesus. You know the children of Israel, they told him over there in 23:13. Don't you make no mention of any other name. I don't want another name to come out your mouth, children of Israel. So Satan heard that. So Satan makes sure you have every name but the four letter name. He knows. But when you get the four letters, now it's automatically supposed to speed you up. Now you're supposed to go some now. Case in point. Brother Micaiah, Romans. Talking to Northern Kingdom and Judah that spread, that scattered out in Rome. Caught up with them. And he looked them eyeball to eyeball. And what did Paul say in 2:13? What did he say, Brother Micaiah? What did he say?
The book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13 reads,
But not the hearers of the law are justified, are just before Yahuwah, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
You just can't hear the law. Now you got to be a doer. But you got to sit in 10 times. Now James looked at Paul with that verse, and he pulled that verse in James 1:22 on verse 25. See, remember, the game changer. Supposed to be due to Israel. That's what the game change is when you precept the Bible. When you tell anyone your loved ones, okay, that sounds good, but give me the precept and watch it. It can be just like you on hit them side the nose if you ask them. What is that? What you mean precept? They ain't have a clue when you say that sounds good, but precept that. They ain't have a clue. See now, then it's going to come clean and say, okay, well, I see we wrong. Help us, guide us, and get us right. See? All you have to say is precept that. That sounds good, but what a precept to it. Watch. They finish. James chapter 1, 22 on verse 25. Listen to the young lions roar on James 1, 22 on verse 25. Come on, that young lion.
Book of James chapter 1, verse 22. Down to 25. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 22 reads, but be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. 23. For if any be a hearer of the word on and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and guardeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, freedom, and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
Read that again. Read verse 25. Take your time and give me a little more audio on that. That's pretty good. Now, sister B.S., Judah Israel. Listen to what he said in verse James 1:25. Let's all of us listen real good. Verse 25.
The book of James chapter 1, verse 25 reads, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
See that? You got a blessing if you continue in that. Now, when you precept that to the 12th chapter, Romans 1, 2, and 3, then you precept that, sister, B, S, Judah, Israel. Then you precept that. Then you say, oh, okay, I got it. 12, 1, 2, 3, bring it. Come on, that young lion. Romans 12, 1, 2, 3.
The book of Romans.
Pick it up.
Chapter 12.
Come on.
Verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, righteous and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahuwah. Verse 2. I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so according as Yahuwah had dealt to every man the measure of faith.
He said, now, don't be just a hearer, but you got to be a doer. You got to have some giddy up in you. Because his reward, his reward in 2 Ezra 9, we're going to find out by being a giddy up and seeking him 10 times more, and that is your reason of service, is a reward for that. And Mother E going to read the reward in 2 Ezra 9, verse 7 and 13, Then you can go right over to Matthew 16:27, and Brother Titus had me Revelation 22:10-15 waiting on me. I guess we might learn something. We might catch some out of this right here. Second is chapter 9:7-10. What did it say that, Mother E?
Second is chapter 9, verses. Second is chapter 9, verses 7 and 13.
Yes, ma'am. Then go right over to Matthew 16:27.
Okay. Second is chapter 9, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, and everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his works and by the covenant which he have believed. Verse 13.
Verse 8. Hold on, Mother. 8. All the way down to verse 13. You read 7. Excellent. Now read 8. Stay on down to 13.
Verse 8. Shall be preserved from thee, said, and shall see my salvation in my land and within my borders, for I have sanctified them for me from the beginning. Verse 9. Then shall they be in perfect,
pitiful
case, mm-hmm. which now have abused my ways, and they that have cast them away despisers shall dwell in torment. Verse 10. Mm-hmm. For such as in their life have received benefits and have not known me. Verse 11. And they that have broken my law while they had yet liberty, and when as yet placed repentance was open unto them, understood not, but despised it. Verse 12. The same must know it after death by pain. Verse 13. And therefore be thou not curious how the unyachtworthy shall be punished, and when, but inquire how the righteous shall be saved, for whom the world is created.
Read verse 7 and 12 one more time. Read verse 7 and 12 again. 7 and verse 12. Read that again, Emma.
Okay. Verse 7. Second Ezra chapter 9, verse 7. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his work and by the covenant whereby ye have believed. Verse 12. The same must know it after death by pain.
He said, you can know the name, but you will be saved by some works. See, you know, religious groups, you ain't got to do no work. He done it all for you. But he letting you know that's total opposite. But see, that you know what's coming out of their mouth is from Satan the devil. You gonna only be saved by your works. That means
right.
You gotta get in where you fit in at and seek him 10 times more and get busy. Now he gonna say it again. Now he gonna say it again, mother, in Matthew 16:27. So now, why don't we believe what he say? Then what man say? Look what he said, because they tell us now in our those in churches, they tell them, well, he has done it all for us. Now all we got to do is right back. But then when you read the Bible in Matthew 16:27, what does it say, Mom, that we can read?
The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his ministering spirit, and then he shall reward every man according to his work.
Is it up? Mm-hmm. He let you know, when I come, he said, I'm going to reward you according to your works. I got a crown based upon your work. You must know the name, and you must do work in the name. Then I'm going to reward you when I tell the man, when I get here, I'm going to wake you up and reward you. But it's going to be about your work. Now, he told John to write the hereafter, 1:17-19 and 4:1. So John writing on his coming. Here is the hereafter. So listen to what's said in Revelation 22, last book in the Bible. What it say we can read in 22:10-15, and skip down to 18 down to the finish. So listen. We gonna go with the Bible, or we just gonna go with what man saying? What do the Bible say we're gonna do? Revelation 22:10-15 and 18 mm-hmm. down to verse 22, brother. What do the Bible say he gonna do? Come on.
The book of anti-prophecy, Revelation chapter 22, verse 10 to 15, verses 18 to 21. Revelation chapter 22, verse 10 reads, and he said unto me, still not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man or woman according to his or her works shall be. Verse 13. I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. First five books of the Torah instruction, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers and idolaters, whosoever love it and make it a lie. Skip down verse 18 to the close. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 reads, for I testify unto every man or woman that hear the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man or woman should add it to these things, Yahweh should add it to him or her the plagues that are written in this book. If any man or woman should take away the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh should take away his part out of the book of life, out of the righteous city, and from the things which are written in this book. Verse 20. He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Even so, Yahweh the Son. Verse 21. The mercy of our Yahweh, Yahweh the Son, be with you all. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
And that was you upon his mercy. I mean, you upon his mercy now. That's why we come on the network 6 nights a week. No class tomorrow. Tuesday, back on the airways, Wednesday, 6 o'clock. You get his mercy now by hearing the 6 anointed camps of voices of a true Israelite. Tell you, take a look at this. Let's help those that need some help. And the ones who can't help, there's nothing you can do. Once you show what the Bible says ain't going to happen. See, Brother Micaiah, it tells you plainly in Malachi 3:16-18, Brother Micaiah, it tells you how you're going to get where you got to get to, Brother Micaiah. What it says we can read in Malachi 3:16-18. What he told those seer to put in writing. Malachi 3:16-18.
The book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 down to verse number 18. Verse 15 reads, then they that feared the Yahuwah spake often one to another. And the Yahuwah hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahuwah and that thought upon his name. Verse 17. And they shall be mine, said the Yahuwah, and that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Verse 18. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahuwah and him that serves him not.
He said, then you want to discern. Then you will know who wicked and who not. He said, the one that spoke often on his name, the four letters, he letting you know, they're going to be mine. I'm going to stand him, the one that used the name, YHWH, and do it. I'm going to spare him as a man spare his son. Because the name, what do the name that we can read in 20, verse 31? By knowing his name, what do that put you in line to if you're doing his work? Brother McKay, what can we read in 20:31 of St. John?
We're going to the book of St. John, chapter 20. We're picking up at verse number 31. The book of St. John, chapter 20, verse 31, and it reads, but these are written that you might believe that Yahuwah the Son is Yahuwah the Son of Yahuwah the Father, and that believing you might have life through his name.
He said, you got life in his name, you believe it. You got life in the name. But suppose you don't believe. Now listen to me real carefully. Supposed to be as Judah Israel. Listen to this real carefully. Suppose you don't believe in the name. Huh? Suppose you don't pay the name, no, never mind. Then this got to come to your mind on what's written in St. John 3:15 on verse 19. Then you, while they talking to you, then what comes to your mind is St. John 3:15 down to verse 19. What does it say to that, Brother Micaiah, that we can read?
St. John chapter 3, verse 15 down to verse number 19. The book of St. John chapter 3, verse 15 reads, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for Yahuwah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read verse 16 again. For Yahuwah so loved the world of Israel that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for Yahuwah the Father sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten son of Yahuwah the Father. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and man loves darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Read verse 18 again.
Verse 18. He that believing on him is not condemned, but he that believing not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father.
He says, if you don't believe in the name, you're condemned already. If you don't believe in the name, you're condemned already. He said, you got to believe in the name that you're condemned already. I don't care how much hoopla going on, Sister B.S. Judah Israel. If you don't believe in the name, you're condemned already. I don't care how big it looks. I don't care how much people's in it. They can have everything going, skin and grin everywhere. But if they don't believe in the four-letter name, according to St. John 3:18, they are condemned already. See that? And now, young lion, he put a verse in saying, Israel world. That's what he said. So we're going to precept that to back that up in writing exactly what he said out of his own mouth. Matthew 15:24. We can back it up what he said. Let's see if we back it up, Brother Micaiah. Matthew 15:24.
We're going over to the book of Matthew. No, we're reading chapter 15, and we read verse 24. The book of Matthew 15:24 reads, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel.
So that's how you back it up. See, you back it up. See, I was sent by the Father in the 49th chapter. We're not going to read of Isaiah. To the lost sheep of the family of Israel. That's who he was sent to. Matter of fact, in 121, what did he say in the way we can read that, young man? What did he say we can read in 121?
121. Yeah, Brother Micaiah. 121. Say that again, sir.
121. And Brother Titus, have me the book of Acts, chapter 1, 2, and 7. Waiting on me. 1, 2, and 7. The 26th chapter of Acts. Have it 1, 2, and 7 waiting on me. Now, young lion, what you getting ready to read again, young lion?
See, I couldn't hear you clear. The phone was, everything was breaking up on my end.
121. Give me 121.
I'm going to Matthew.
Give me 121.
Going to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21 reads, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yahweh the Son, for he shall save his people from their sins.
See that? So when you bring forth this child, he going to save his people. So you see, that's one of the greatest mysteries. That's why I said Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. They're not going to never read. That's why they tell you stay out of the Bible. Just read, matter of fact, read the Bible, period. We just give you a sermon to read. Because it's too dangerous to read any part of the Bible with understanding. You see what he's saying, 121? He came to save his people. See? And you know he will never hear it. You're not going to never hear that read. What does it say in 18:11, the same book? 18:11. See, Sister B.S. Israel, Judah Israel, this book is too dangerous to have it read. That's why they got their sermons and got new editions, because it's too dangerous to read this book right here. Now, have you ever heard with understanding 121 read in the Bible, he come to save his peoples. His peoples are the children of Israel, 12 tribes. That's what he came to do. Everybody got a role to play, but first, let him take care of the business he was sent to do. We'll talk about the other peoples another time, but it's all about you, according to him. So we got written in 18:11.
Going over to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost."
And you know who's lost. People that are lost. The children of the 12 tribes, you know we are lost. We 90% of the northern kingdom, they all up in the Roman Catholic Church. And the rest of us, them, is sitting on the dock of the bay. You African American, Negro. So who needs a savior? Who needs a savior? Lost 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why we cloned the broadcast to claim you back to take a look at this Bible again. Now, in Acts chapter 5 there, young lion, Micaiah, he still was talking. He'd been talking all the time. We just don't read what he's saying. In Acts chapter 5, pick up verse 29 down to verse 32. Listen to this in here. Acts 5, 29-32. Then go over and give me what I want out of them. But I want St. John. I want three. I tell you what, let's get this out the way first. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, 32. What does that say?
The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29 down to verse 32. Verse 29 reads, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey Yahuwah rather than men." Verse 30. "The Yahuwah of our fathers, the father of our fathers, raised up Yahuwah the Son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Verse 31. Hath Yahuwah the Father exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Verse 32. "And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the righteous spirit, whom Yahuwah has given to them that obey him."
So you see, they said, we're a witness. The reason he came was to save Israel from his enemy and give repentance and salvation and all that good stuff to them. That was eyewitnessing. Now, you know if you're going to court of law and they got eyewitnesses on you, you know you're in trouble. So where did you get it from? They said, we're the witnesses. And he says in 3, 34 down to verse 35 there, what he says in 3, but read verse, I need something out of this. I need something else. Read verse John 3, 34 down to verse 36 first. But something else I need in, it'll come to me in a minute. But what it says in 3, 34 down to 36 there, Brother Micaiah.
The book of St. John chapter 3, verse 34 down to verse 36. Verse 34 reads, "For he whom Yahuwah has sent speaking the words of Yahuwah, for Yahuwah giveth not the spirit by measure unto him." Verse 35. "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahuwah abated on him."
So if you don't see the thing, you see you got coming wrath. So if you don't see the thing, so you look at your little one, and all you say, well, you don't see it, fine, you're reading, but you just don't see it, so get what you got coming, wrath, from him. Where you reading it at? That's why you got to make sure you lead out in the verse. If you don't see it, they read it to them and they don't see it. But so, my minister never taught me that because your ministers were from Satan the devil. That's why he never taught you that. Your ministers from Satan the devil. We showing you exactly what the Bible's saying. It's up to you. You sit them down and this is what the Bible says. Now, what you going to go with? What your minister told you? Or what the Bible says? Which one are you going to go with? It's up to you. Not even Paul's mission. Young Lion Titus. What is his mission here? Watch what he says in 26th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 7. See now. See, remember, everybody loves him, Paul, but nobody ain't quoting Paul. Look what Paul says in the 26th chapter of Acts 1, 2, and 7. What did he say there? Young Lion, Brother Titus, what did he say?
The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 1 and 2 and verse 7. Acts chapter 26, verse 1 reads, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, You are permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. Verse 2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all things whereof I am accused of Yada Judah.
Man.
Verse 7, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving Yahweh day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of Yada Judah.
What was Paul on according to verse 7? So Paul concern was what according to verse 7? Out of his own mouth. What was Paul concern out of his own mouth in verse 7?
Unto which promise our 12 tribes serving Yahweh day and night.
See, Paul concerned about the 12 tribes. See, ain't nobody gonna never read this, Sister B, as Judah Israel. Paul concerned to bring in question. He said, my concern is about the 12 tribes. That was his concern. You never hear that, but that is in writing. But his concern is really not his concern. He pulled that concern from somebody else's concern. Let's find out who he did. Let's run to Matthew 18. Let's find out where he get his concern from. Let's go to St. John 18 there, young man. We're going to read.
Yes, sir.
19 and verse 20. Let's find out where he get his concern from. We're going to find out. Why you got your concern for the 12 tribes, Paul? Where you get that from? Let's see where he got that from in St. John chapter 18, 19 and 20. What does it say?
Beloved John, chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. John chapter 18, verse 19. The high priest then asked Yahweh the Son of his disciples, followers, and of his teaching. Verse 20. Yahweh the Son answered him, I spake openly to the world, and ever taught in the temple, where Yahweh Judah always exhort, and in secret have I said nothing.
Oh, so that's where Paul got it from. He said, I talked openly to Yahdah Judah, and in secret, I ain't said nothing. He said, that's what I've done. You always can find me somewhere teaching Judah. Wherever Judah is, I'm looking for Judah. He said, I looked for him, and that's why I taught Judah. See, why don't somebody read what the Bible's saying and stop bringing in what Satan tell man to say? Because Satan got a spiritual seed in the brain. Those that don't quote this Bible, that's spiritually talking Satan seed. When you're quoting the Bible, that's Yahweh seed, spiritually. So now one can make no babies. Understand something. Why don't you quote what the Bible says? That's all you got to do. Everything you quote is traditions of men.
Mm-hmm.
He made it plain. He was operating, and when they said all this, they pulled these verses, Mother E. Hey, Mother E, in the closing statement, they pulled these verses in Amos 3, 1, 2, and 7. Then run the Psalms 147, 19, and 20, and get the closing statement. Mother E. Look what it says in Amos 3, 1, 2, and 7. Then swing right down to 147, 19, and 20. What it said, Mother E, in the closing statement. Mouth.
Okay. Amos chapter 3. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Verse 1, 2, and 7.
Okay. Amos chapter 3. Verse 1, 2, and 7. Amos chapter 3. Verse 1. Hear this word that the Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Verse 7. Surely Yahweh would do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, Hosea. Psalms 147.
But hold that point for a minute. Back up to 2:11. Back up to 2:11 before you read that. Back up and just put 2:11 in there too. 2:11. Let's see what 2:11 say.
Amos 2:11. The book of Amos, chapter 2:11. And I raised up your sons for fear, and of your young men for nourishment. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, said the Yahweh?
You see, and we just got through hearing in the opening part of the broadcast, Joseph Smith, he is the seer. He the seer, the Mormon's book was given him by the Father and the Son, and he from the descendants of Esau. He from the descendants of Esau. The Bible just condemned your statement there, Latter-day Saints. The ones he raised up as seers are the children of Israel, according to Mother reading in 2:11. You not from the seed of Israel. You from the seed of Esau. See that? And your whole doctrine on that the Father and Son came to you and told you to do a new thing. The Bible just condemned you a liar from the pits of hell, and that book that they're reading out of, the 16 million, it can't hold up with 2:11. Because he's not from the of Israel. Israel, what you call today African American, Negro, and color. So your doctrine, your teaching is on a lie, according to 2:11. Now, I could have precepted the 3, 25, and 26 to let you know what was said on the left side of the book. Matter of fact, Mother, you can hold that and just precept that to Acts 3, 25, and 26, and we'll just get a closing statement on you and catch you Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So we're just going to precept that. See, we don't know when we're going to throw something on you, but we know we heard your statement. You put a great resume in the beginning of the tape on about Joseph Smith is the seer of today, and the Mormon's book is the only book you supposed to be reading today. That's a lie from the pits of hell. See? And we're going to precept that 2, 3, 25, and 26 of Acts, Mother, in the closing statement. See, we knew that. I was waiting on when you were getting something to combat that great resume we heard in the beginning of the tape. You say the best for last. So, Mother, pull it out in Acts 3, 25, and 26. and the closing statement come out.
The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25. You are the children of the seer, the prophet, and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, unto you first, Yahweh have raised up his son. Yahweh the son sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his sin.
See, and you know what order you in? Judah, 12 tribes of Israel first. So the first, mm-hmm. it's going to come to you first.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to wait. He's just going to do it. But he ain't told Esau his five sons nothing. No more but a day of whooping coming for the lion all day long. So that whole ministry with 16 million reading that Book of the Mormons and saying they received him and the Father giving him a new way to go, that's a lie from the pits of hell, and we just proved it. In writing, we produced our calls. Only to Israel is the word given to. They get it first. Joseph Smith is not from Israel. He's from Esau. See? So that whole teaching, that whole Mormon book, and Joseph Smith's experience, it's a lie from the pits of hell.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So, mm-hmm. Mother, close on that. You on the clock, come on.
Thanking and praising Yahweh for this class. Thanking and praising Yahweh to be in the class. And thanking and praising Yahweh for the teacher. And just thanking and praising Yahweh. And for each and everyone that's listening. I'm going to read couple of verses, just Psalms 117. Praise the Yahweh, all ye nations, Israel. Praise him, all ye people, for his mercy, kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Yahweh endure forever. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mother, catch you Wednesday at 6 o'clock. No broadcast Tuesday. Remember one thing. The Latter-day Saints ministry came out from under the whore church called the Roman Catholic Church. So that's the daughter. So that's the daughter of the Catholic Church. Understand that. That's what's in that cup. Because what's in that cup in the 17th chapter is that name that John was shown that going to come on today. And that's the reason you don't know his true name, because that cup going to blind you with the name of Jesus in that cup. He told you about that cup. That cup going to have a name in it. It's going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire, and the name is Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the cup of the 17th chapter of Revelation. In that cup is abomination and filth. And he had a name in there, and that's Jesus. That's the name you're going to find and think of. The name Jesus ain't no more than 200, look, less than 300 years old. Jesus. See? It's up to you. You can continue down this road. But I'm telling you now, your flight will be in the bottom of the lake of fire with this name, Lord God and Jesus, Allah and Buddha and Jehovah. And the one name for salvation. YHWH, according to 116:13 of Psalms. And Peter came right back in Acts 4:12 and said, one name for salvation. One name. YHWH. All the rest of the names is going to get thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. You just got to hear it. And it's up to you. Yeah. So, young line brother Titus. Now, Paul was on a mission. In the 17th chapter, look what he says in Acts 17:20-23. Now, Paul, remember, Paul was raised from the womb in Galatians 1:16. He was raised from the womb. Now, he go find the children of Israel that were scattered and lost in the brain. Now, look what he stumbled upon in the 17th chapter, 29, verse 23. What he stumbled up on that we all can read together. Acts 17, 29, verse 23. What did he say?
The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 20 to 23. Acts chapter 17, verse 20. When you bring a certain strange thing to our ears, we would know, therefore, what these things mean. Verse 21 reads, for all the atheists and strangers, which were their spent, their time, and nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Verse 22, there Paul stood in the midst of Mars, Hill, and said, you man of atheists, I have perceived that in all things you are too superstitious. Verse 23, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown Yahweh, whom dare you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you.
I know you stumbled and bumbling all through that. But he said, look here. He said, I peep y'all. Y'all was talking about an unknown Yahweh. What? Y'all was talking about some name that's some Kyrios name. So y'all got names. I don't know where these names come from. He said, these names you ignorantly worship. And that's what you do today. You ignorantly worship the name of Lord God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha, and Christ. That's ignorantly worshiping them names. That's what he said. So, let's go to Acts chapter 9. And we'll look at 1 down to verse 6 and pick it up above Micaiah, 7 down to verse 16. So he says, you ignorantly worshiping this man by calling him by the name that you're using. Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah. They're going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire and Christ. All these going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. He got one name for salvation. One name. Now, Paul is still peeping some things out. So in the 9th chapter of Brother Titus, young lion, what it says in 9 and 1 down to number 7. And 1 down to verse 7 in a closing statement. 1 down to verse 7, what it says, Brother Titus, and we'll catch it all again Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. What it says in Acts chapter 1. 1 through 7 and a closing statement. Come out.
We're going to book Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 7.
Yes, sir. Acts 9:1-7 and a closing statement.
The book of Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. And Saul, we're breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples, followers of Yahweh the Son, went to the high priest. Verse 2, and desire of him letters to Damascus, to the temples, that he found any of his way, whether they were man or woman, he might bring them bound unto Yada Judah. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute you me? Verse 5, and he said, who are you, Yahweh? And Yahweh said, I am Yahweh the Son who persecutes you. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Yahweh, what will you have me to do? And Yahweh said unto him, arise, go to the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Verse 7. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man.
So you see, so now Paul, I mean Saul, remember Yahweh called him Saul. The world called him Paul. See, his name is Saul, but the world called him Paul. Oh, no, you call him Paul, but what did Yahweh call him? That's the end of it. That's Saul.
Oh.
See, now, so you see, so then Yahweh knocked him off his donkey, hit him in the mouth. He said, who are you? So he knew that power came from heaven, and what? So Paul knew his name. He says, this Yahweh. He said, yeah, I'm Yahweh. He said, why are you kicking against me? So why are you doing this? So he knocked him down, but Paul came clean and said what in the closing statement in 1 Timothy 1:13. Now, Paul said something in 1:13. And see, this is what our brothers and sisters got to do. Once you find out that you've been lied to by the Catholic Church, you've been lied to the daughters that came out of the Catholic Church with the Latter-day Saints. See, you got, look, I've been taught wrong. This is what you got to do. Now, Sister B.S. Judah Israel, when it's all said and done, this what, brother, sister, auntie, everybody got to say. Then you know where they work with. 1 Timothy, once they hear the scriptures, 1:13, and the closing statement, come out.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 13, read. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I attained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief.
Ain't that something? See, they got to come clean. They done this. You've been up under the Roman Church. You've been up under all the daughters and the sons of the Catholic Church. You got to say, but I did it in ignorance. I didn't know. Then you got a chance to be all right. But you got to come clean, Sister B.S. Judah Israel, and say, in ignorance we did it. I didn't know that was in this book. I've been reading a made-up sermon all my life. I didn't know. But now you know. See that? In ignorance, Paul said I did this. I thought I was taught right. That was Paul saying. But I found out I wasn't. So he came clean. Same thing will have to happen, Sister Judah. Sister B. S. Israel. The family got to come clean after you put some Bible on them first. You got to put some Bible on them first now. The Bible going to make them come clean. Close the statement out, Brother Titus. And we'll get back on it later. Excellent on your part. You stood tall and grand style. What's your closing statement is? Come on.
Yes, sir. All right. I'm going to the Book of Sirach. Going to the Book of Sirach. Chapter 6, verse 25. Book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 25. Receive therefore instruction through my words, and it shall do you good. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Oh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Listen, hallelujah, Yahweh. You receive instruction through the word. So, Sister B.S., Judah Israel, they gotta see, receive instruction through the world. The Catholic Church and all the daughters that came out among them is every other church that came up on them. They've been taught by Satan the devil. They gotta come clean and say, in ignorance we did it. And come clean.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you show them some book now. I don't talk a good game now. You got a book of good game. Brother Micaiah. Take it at verse number 7. Verse 16, Brother Micaiah. Acts 9, 7 through 16. Bring it.
Book of Acts, chapter 9. We're picking up at verse 7, down to verse 16. Verse 7 reads, and the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple. Then there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Yahweh in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Yahweh. He left. Yahweh said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire at the family of Yada Judah for one called, well, in the family of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed, verse 12, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered Yahweh, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to your saints at Yada Judah. Verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. Verse 15. But the Yahweh said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to go bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name.
He said, you will suffer for the name's sake. He said, so understand something, Sister B.S., Judah Israel. You're going to suffer for this name's sake. Oh, your closing blood wall is going to start bagging away from you, looking all the side of the head. Say, where you getting this from? I'm getting it from the Bible. Israel. Here's the verse I got it from. He will tell you, I don't want to hear that Bible. Then you know, okay, good. That's what you're really saying. You believe that man is going to die, not this living man. Okay, now I got you. See, I'm telling you. But if you think you're going to suffer. Paul's going to suffer. Because Paul, Ananias knew the name. Paul knew the name. So everybody knew the name from 96 A.D. back to 4004. They knew the name. But we don't know the name now. How we bumming around with the name, because we don't know the name. It don't got away from you now. But the game changer is knowing the name. Now, what tongue was all this spoken in? Because remember, it wasn't no English to 449. So whenever you see the word Lord, God, and Jesus, Allah, and Buddha, it means YHWH, because they weren't speaking. And we read the three languages that was on the table, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, and ain't no such name as Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha, and Jehovah. They don't even exist. Look into the language right now. Latin, Greek, Hebrew. No name called Lord, God, and Jesus. So is they going to come clean or not? So ain't no salvation in them names. Now we put the book on it. So in Acts chapter 21, 39 through 40, what did Paul say? Paul was doing something, but what was he doing it in? Here we go over here. Acts 21, 39, and 40. What did it say, Brother Micaiah?
Going over to the book of Acts. We're going to read chapter 21, and we want verse 39 and verse number 40. The book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 39 and verse number 40. Verse 39 reads, but Paul said, I am a man which is a Yada of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech you, suffer me to speak unto the people. Verse 4. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them the Hebrew, the Shemitic tongue, saying.
So, spoke to them in Shemitic tongue. So Paul spoke to the people in a Semitic tongue, which is called Hebrew. So there ain't no Lord God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha, Jehovah, you know, in these three languages, Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. So understand something. When they keep calling you by this name, Jesus, listen, Jesus is not in Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. It's nobody named Jesus there. Paul spoke to the people in the Hebrew tongue. Is that what we're reading?
That's what we're reading.
And what happened when he did it in 22:1-2? What now? Speaking to them, and let's see, is he speaking Chinese to them in Hebrew? 22:1-2.
Okay, 22, verse 1 and verse 2. The book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 1, read. Man, brother, and excuse me, father, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. Verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Shemitic Hebrew tongue to them, they kept them more silent, and he said.
That's something. They got even quiet when he started speaking that good old language to them. He's speaking our home, our born language. See that? So you see, when Paul was speaking to the children of the book, he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue. See? And they listened, even they got listening real good. Now, you tell me now what they done in verse 8. Read now. This is in the Hebrew tongue. Read the word they put in the Hebrew tongue. Read for you. Let me show you how you catch a rat red hand. Look what they say in verse 8. Just read the way you see it, and let's see if we catch a rat red-handed in verse 8. 22.
The book of Acts, chapter 22, and picking up at verse number 8, and verse number 8 read. Verse 8, and I asked, who are you, Yahweh? And he said unto me, I am.
Well, I couldn't catch it like that. Read the way you see it. I want to catch a rat red-handed. You know what I'm saying? I want to catch the rat red-handed.
Hallelujah.
Speaking in the Hebrew.
The book of Acts.
Hold on, young lad. Now back up to Acts 21:39-40. Back up, young lad, because I was ready to so soundly catch the rat. You can catch a rat knowing that certain things there even look today. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek do not carry the name that we call on today for our salvation. Not in the three languages that were spoken in the times of the Bible. So back up to 21:39-40 again. Come on there, young lion.
The book of Acts. Chapter 21:39-40. Verse 39 reads, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Yada of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech you, suffer me to speak to the people. Verse 40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stair and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew, Shemitic tongue, saying.
See that? So he's a big dignitary. Let me speak to my peoples. They asked him, can you speak Greek in the early verses? He said, yeah, I can speak all the languages. But let me speak to my peoples. He said, go on, speak to them. He's beckoning with his hand in the Semitic tongue they call Hebrew. And the people listened and understood. See that? So everybody wasn't speaking all the mother languages. They had the same tongue, but they twist the words on you. So Paul spoke to them in the Semitic tongue, and they listened to him real good. Now we go on to the 22nd chapter and catch a rat red-handed, how they look right at his name and put the new word in there right before your eyes, and you can catch them yourself in 22:8. Catch it. Catch a rat in 22:8 there, young lion. Come on.
the book of Acts, chapter 22, verse number 8. Verse 8 reads, "And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute."
Ain't that still it is. You see how you can catch the rat red-handed. He called him Lord and Jesus. It ain't no Lord and Jesus in the Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. Even to this day, you go and put up on the computer, your computer whiz, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, and show me anywhere you're going to read the word Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, or Jehovah. That didn't happen. That's when they put in them wicked names and caused you to lose your salvation. But the light turned on. It's up to you now. Now, let's run to Acts 26. And we'll pick up verse 7 down to verse 16. And we'll close out with this. Listen, become humble with you. See, everybody want to take those sins and run and head into the wall, but we trying to save your life. We trying to restore back to you what they've taken away from you. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek today. Pull it up. Do your homework. Let anybody look at the Hebrew language, Latin, or Greek, and show me one place where Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah is in there. It's not there. Paul was speaking in the Hebrew, Charles. Of course, he heard from heaven. Paul going to rehearse the righteous act about what he heard. We're going to Acts chapter 26, 7 through 16, and we'll probably close out with this, young man. Take your time and shine and show why you want them up and coming with young roaring lions and grand style. Acts 26, 7 through 16, come on, in the closing statement.
The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 7 down to verse 16. Verse 7 reads, "Unto which promised our 12 tribes, instantly serving Yahuwah day and night, hope to come, for which hope sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of Yada Judah." Verse 8, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, that Yahuwah should raise the dead?" Verse 9, "I truly thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Yahuwah, the son of Nazareth." Verse 10, "Which thing I also did in Yadaju. In many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." Verse 11, "And I punished them off in every temple and compelled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Verse 12, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest." Verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me." Verse 14, "And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speak unto me, and saying in the Shemitic tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute you me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." Verse 15, "And I said, Who are you, Yahuwah? And he said, I am Yahuwah the son, whom you persecute." Verse 16, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you."
Mm-hmm. But now let's catch a rat again in verse 15. Now remember, he said a voice he heard, he spoke to him in a Hebrew tongue, right? Now let's catch a rat again with a precept by catching a rat. Let's catch a rat again in verse 15. Let's catch that rat again in verse 15.
The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 15 reads, And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute.
Hey, that's you see the man. You see what they do. They go your Lord and God. And now look at medical, look into the Semitic, Hebrew, Latin, or Greek, and show me any place one time Lord God and Jesus in there in the Hebrew, Latin, or Greek, and I'll be quiet for a long time. Show it to me. Hebrew, Latin, or Greek, Lord God, Jesus, Allah, Jehovah. Paul was speaking in 126, two lines. What was Paul speaking in 126, young line? What was Paul doing?
Going back to the book of Acts. Going to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Picking up at verse 26, 3. And they gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthew, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Acts 1:26, that's all you can get out of that?
That's all we're getting out of 1:26.
Well, hold on, young lad. I'm struggling then. Let me turn to 1:26. Now, I'm missing my hit there, young lad. Acts chapter 1. Make it 19. Thank you. Verse 19. Thank you, that young lad. 19.
The book of Acts chapter 1, verse 19. 19 reads, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Yadatu, and so much as that field is called in their proper tongue, Elseldemus.
Stop right there. Stop right there. The proper tongue is Hebrew, Latin, and Greek in the proper tongue. It ain't no English. It wasn't no English. The proper tongue was Semitic Hebrew. They spoke Latin and Greek. Them the only things, and that was the proper tongue. We'll leave it like that. Young line, close it out. It's on you. Wednesday night, 6 p.m., no class tomorrow. You on the clock. Take us home. Come out.
Thank you, Yahuwah, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for opportunity in life to be able to meet and learn how to see Israel of Israel. Thank you, Yahuwah, for my wife and children, for blessing me to be able to teach them the word of Yahuwah. Thank Yahuwah for our elders and our mothers, all the teachers and sisters and the caps, all the sisters and brothers, and to the 12 tribes of Israel that Yahuwah is going to bring back on the one accord. And also I want to read in the book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 12, verse number 31, read, and the lion whom you saw rising up out of the wood and roaring and speaking to the eagle, and rebuking her for her unrighteousness with all the words which you have heard. Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what?
Excellent. Catch you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Until that time come.
Thank you.